The question today is, what am I to look for in salvation? This is part number two of this question, and we said we need to look in the Bible and see what the Bible says salvation consists of. It's not of tradition, as many people have. It's not of preconceived ideas. It's not necessarily in a feeling, even though some people are looking for feelings, but you've got to be careful. The devil will give you a feeling and lead you astray. And as a result, you'll think it's of God and die and go to hell. And that's a bad thing. Now, feeling is involved in salvation because godly sorrow, works repentance is part of that's the emotional part of Holy Ghost conviction. And you must have a deep cause grief over your sin against the Holy God and your lostness and your separation from God. And I'll tell you, your emotions will be strung out. They'll be wrung out, if you please, as godly sorrow works in your life. But that if that's what you're just looking for, some kind of feeling, then you the devil will give it. Now, it's true when you're saved, peace comes and emotions are the burdens are gone, and that's a feeling. But yet, that's not what you look for in salvation. And I said, some people are looking for something big in salvation. They want the clouds to move. They want a booming voice come out of heaven and say, you are saved, or something along that line. But the devil can even duplicate that. I read the book of 1 Kings where Elijah was up in the mountains and the Lord passed by and the wind broke the rocks, earthquake came and fire fell, but the Lord was not in any of those. And then came a still small voice. See, if you're looking for something big and dramatic, and in other words, a strong occurrence that maybe that you'll say, well, where I'll never doubt. Well, you won't doubt if what God does, because anything God does is big in one way. But you're looking for something in the atmosphere or something around you that would be dramatic, and the devil can give you that, and it's a dangerous thing. Don't look for signs. A wicked and adulterous generation seek after a sign. We don't need any signs anymore. We've got that which is perfect. It's come, and we don't have to have signs anymore today. Some people say, well, I'm looking for something new. Well, if it's new, it's not in the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, then it's extra biblical. It's error. It's not truth. If it's new, in other words, even in your life, it's probably not true. Because Ecclesiastes said that in chapter 1, verse number 9 and 10, that basically all things have been here before. And we're living in a day when people are ignorant of the truth. And when truth comes, they look at it as if it's a new doctrine. That's what they said about Paul. It's what they said about Jesus as they taught. Said, you've got a new doctrine. No, it was the old paths that they really walked in. And the Lord told Israel in Jeremiah 6:16, he said that for them, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, which is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. In other words, the old paths is what Jesus preached. The old paths is what Paul preached. And today when you preach the truth about godly sorrow and repentance and faith and all the ingredients involved in real salvation, people will say you're preaching a new doctrine. No, we're not. We're preaching the old paths. Now, the sad thing about Israel, when they were told to find them and walk in them, they said in verse 16, the last part of it of Jeremiah 16, but they said, we will not walk therein. And many times when we preach repentance and faith as the ingredients and it's got to become in the gospel and when it's preached, work of God's got to be done for that to happen. And people say, hey, I don't want to go that route. I don't want to walk in that. But folks, you'll never be saved without truth. And that just lets me in on a little secret right here. You see, a lot of what you're hearing on radio and TV is not truth. They're telling you things and it's dealing with works. See, ever denomination or ever religion, whatever you want to call it, it falls under one or two categories. One is a do religion. The other is a done salvation. And the Bible states very plainly that it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not a works religion. It's got to be done by the Lord Jesus Christ. He initiates salvation. He works it. And he consummates it. So it's his work that's got to be done. And if you're looking for the wrong thing, you're liable to come up short. You may have a profession and think that you'll be okay. But the Bible said in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse number 22, it said, many are going to stand in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and cast out devils in thy name? And done many, in thy name done many wonderful works, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. That means I never knew you at any time. See, some people think they can be saved and then lost, but no, that's not so. That's unscriptural. That's error. And that's works that's trying to get you saved or keep you saved, and it's not of works, lest any man should boast. So, you see, it's really the old paths is where we need to get today. It's what we need to look for in that sense. Not something new, not something big, not something with feeling, even though feelings will be involved, even though it'll be big when the Almighty God touches your soul. And even though it may be new to you, it's still, I'm trying to show you, the devil can give you a counterfeit. The old songwriter said it this way, "Tell me the old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. Tell me the story simply as to a little child, for I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled." You see, it's the old past. It's not something new. It's the old story. What you need to really look for, you need to be looking for quickened promises of the Lord to obey them, to obey them. In other words, the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter, he's writing to the elect, and the elect are the saints of God, it's not Israel, but he said it's elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of blood. You've got to obey the gospel. And when Jesus preached the gospel, he said, repent and believe the gospel. Now, repent is a verb, believe is a verb. And when God grants you repentance and God grants you a saving faith, then you can repent and you can believe. And but it'll be His work. And that's the promises of God that He gives you that need to be quickened to you. Now, I can preach it all day long and tell you the truth all day long. But unless God quickens it in you, awakens you to your need, and does a work in your heart, you'll never be saved. So you need to look for the quickened promises of God to obey. In the book of Matthew, after Jesus had talked about the false prophets and how that they would be there, they would come in wolves, be sheep in wolves and sheep's clothing, is what it amounted to. But by your fruit, you'll know them. He also said in verse 21 of Matthew 7, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And you say, "Preacher, I thought you said that you didn't have to work to be saved." It's not works to be saved, but you're going to have to exercise faith. And you're going to have to repent, and you're going to have to believe. And therefore, you're going to have to obey, doeth the will of the Father. He also said in verse number 24 of chapter 7 of Matthew, he said that, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a man which built his house upon a rock." In other words, he doeth these sayings of mine. He obeys some things. In fact, the man who built his house upon the sand, he said, "I liken him to a foolish man." In other words, he heard the sayings and doeth them not. So obedience is the key. Obedience is necessary, but you've got to have God to speak something to you. Now, if you just up and obey it and exercise something because some preacher tells you to do it, you're in trouble, because God's got to quicken what that preacher tells you, even if he's in God's stead. God's got to make it alive with you. Why? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, by the utterance of God. So He's got to quicken something to you. And so it's the quickened promises of God. And then you obey, you doeth His will. Bible said in 1 John 2:17, He said, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." In other words, that's practicing, obeying what God told him to do. In other words, doeth the will is to obey what the Lord quickens to you, what He speaks to you, and what He makes clear to you. That's what you've got to do. Now, you don't need a certain feeling or something big or something new, even though all of it may categorize your salvation experience. But what you need is to obey what the Lord already has shown you. We deal with a lot of people today who want to be saved. They know they're not saved. They may be lost intellectually. I don't know that God's really showed all of them that they're lost. And by the way, you'll not be saved till God reveals to you you're lost. He's got to do it. Some preacher can tell you you're not saved. And if you just move out on that, you've got word only. And it's not saving faith that you're exercising. But you see, you need to obey what the Lord has already shown you. If He hadn't shown you anything, you say, but He has. The Bible said in Romans 1, there's a light in conscience and a light in creation, lets you know that God is. And he that believeth God is cometh to him. That means he becomes a seeker and begins to seek after the Lord and knows that he'll reward him. He knows that diligently seek him, he'll reward them. So you need to obey the light that God gives you, the promises that's been quickened, if you please. Bible said in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse number 18, I just want to give you a few promises, and I pray God will quicken them to you so that you might know what to look for in salvation, and that you might obey what you know God's shown you. He said in Psalm 34, 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. That means Holy Ghost conviction, godly sorrow, breaking a man down. You've got to have it. He said he's nigh to that person, nigh unto him. It means he's working in his life. Some people say, well, I don't know whether God's working or not. If you're bothered in the least bit, then that means there's two working, because the devil would never cause you to move, to stir you to move toward God. And that voice that many times when people hear us preach like we preach, sometimes they'll say, well, the voice comes and they'll say, that's just the devil making you doubt. No, it's the Holy Ghost of God that's striving with you. And thank God for that striving spirit and preacher of righteousness and an open door and a long-suffering God so that you might be saved. Now what you need to do is do what you know to do at the time. Obey the light God's give you. Do what he's shown you to do. Do what he's shown you. And the truth, in other words. Bible said in Psalms 145, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. To all them that call upon him in truth. He's not nigh to those who don't call in truth. So if you haven't had truth preached to you, you can call all day long. You might give a false feeling and have a relief and a release and make you think you're okay. But I want to tell you what, if you don't have truth, you can't call on him in truth. You can't receive him as your Lord and Savior. And by the way, he's going to be Lord, not just Savior. So you must call on him in truth. And the Bible said he's nigh unto all them that call on him in truth. Bible also said that Jesus spoke to these Jews in John chapter 8, verse number 31, that believed on him. They believed after he preached the word, the truths about he was the light of the world. And they said, we believe you're the Messiah. We believe that. What they did, they believed with intellectual knowledge and maybe even a seeking knowledge. I don't know how far they went with that. But most preachers would have said, put them in the choir. Put them in the baptistry. Let's make them church members and pastors and deacons and teachers. But Jesus said to them, if you will continue in my word, then shall ye be my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You see, you must continue in his word. That's do his will. Obey. If you don't obey, you'll never get to the place that you can call on him in truth. If you're looking for something big and new, you might get in trouble. You need to look for quickened promises and obey them. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.